Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The beginning of our shiur today will be found at the bottom of Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. The topic that we will be involved with at the beginning of this year and will keep us occupied for quite a while will be the issue of Malkos for a negative command for a loisaseh, when that loisaseh does not exist in isolation, but rather is in the proximity of a mitzvah saseh, whether it be before the mitzvah loisaseh or after the mitzvah loisaseh, as is found in the Torah. In other words, standard malkos is the punishment given for the violation of negative commands, assuming that it's a negative command that doesn't have along with it a penalty of misas beis din or a financial obligation. There are exceptions to the rules that we will be talking about. The basis of this idea that a lav, that a negative command, receives malkos is learned from the example found in the Torah of the prohibition of muzzling up an ox while it's engaged in threshing grains, which is known as Lo Sachsom Shor B'disho, and that pasuk is found in the proximity of a section of the Torah that deals with the receipt of lashes. That particular pasuk is not accompanied by a positive command, by a mitzvah saseh. So it's a lo saseh that stands in isolation, and from the fact that it's in the proximity of malkos in the Torah, we learn from that standard lavim receive malkos. What is the din if a negative command, a lo saseh, is followed by a mitzvah saseh, whereby the Torah warns against doing a particular act, and then it says that, well, if that act is done, then do this and this positive act. In general, we learn from that, that's called a lav hanita klaseh. And the general approach to that is that lav hanita klaseh, there's no malkos. What is the situation when you have a mitzvahs lo saseh, but instead of following it is the mitzvah saseh, preceding it is the mitzvah saseh? That will be the subject of the Gemara as we open up. So we sit at the bottom of Daf Yudalad Amud Beis, Omar Rabba Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Notice how Rabbi Yochanan's name appears in a firebox. That's because his name is going to be the central discussion of a rather long piece of Gemara. Kol loisase shekidmoi asei. Any negative command that's preceded by a positive command, loikin olov, there will be malkus for that. Let's glance at the Rashi. Kol loisase shekidmoi asei, loikin olov. Ho osol ashmina. This is what he comes to tell us. Dafilu leman domar lav hanita klasei ein loikin olov. That even according to the opinion that says that a lav that is nitak, that is removed from its general category of lashes, and rather instead of lashes, the Torah is suggesting do this positive command which will then undo the negative command. In other words, it's tikkun, so to speak, is through the performance of the positive command instead of lashing. Kedisanya, the Brisa teaches by the mitzvah of Nosar, lo sosiru, don't leave over sacrificial meat. V'hanosar, And it goes on to say, Avanos Menu Aboker Boesh Tisrofu, Bo Hakos of Litain Asay Achar Los Asay. The Pasuk is giving us an asay after the negative command, after the lois asay, lomar, to tell us, she'ein lokin olav, that there's no malchus for the violation of nosar, she'nitak hakosuv es ha'asay. The Pasuk comes to remove the standard approach and says, lios onsho shela v'tikuno. The pasuk makes the takes the positive command of burning the sacrificial meat that was left over and says that it shall be in lieu of malchus. Lomar lo sasekach, don't do thusly in the case of the sacrificial meat that's left over. Don't leave it over. V'imosiso, and if you did violate that, asay zos v'hipoter, do this in the case of the meat, of the korban meat. It's asay zos, burn it in the morning and be done with it, and be hipoter, and be exempt from any further penalties. V'ashmina Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan here in our Gemara tells us, Hani mili ba'asei habo achar halav. That's in the event that the asei follows the lav, follows the negative command. She'ein ato yochol l'kaimo el alachar averos halav. It's a type of asei that can be performed only after the negative command has been violated. In other words, the idea of burning the korban meat that's left over can exist only if it was left over. In other words, only if the negative command of do not leave over was violated, then you can come to the positive command of burn that which was left over. Avol, asay shekidem esalav. However, if you have a positive command that precedes the negative command, v'ato yochol lekaimoi koidem aver salav, and you are able to fulfill the positive asay, the positive command, the asay, the mitzvah asay, without violating a negative command, ein zeh nituk halav, that's not a removal of that particular lav from the realm of malchus, v'afilu tekaimenu achar aver salav, and even if a person, let us say, in that case, where the positive command came before the negative command, let us say one didn't fulfill the asay beforehand, went ahead and violated the negative command, and then decided to do the positive command that actually preceded it, we say that that is not going to spare him from the malchus. Lo nifteres min hamalchus. So Rabbi Yochanan, after having said this principle, that a los aseh, that's kidma aseh, it's preceded by a positive command, loikin olav, the violation of that kind of negative command will result in malchus. Omru lo, there are others that didn't hear it directly from him. They asked him, Amris, did you say that? Rashi at the top points out, Omru lo. And then we have a little brackets there inserted in the Rashi. So the way to read this Rashi would be, the first reading would be, Amris Dovarzeh, they asked him, did you say this? Now we read the Rashi again. Omru lo, achirim shishamuhu mishmo, others that heard this teaching in his name, velo shamuhu mipi, but they didn't hear it directly from him. So here they went to the source and they asked him, did you say that? Omar lohu lo. And then he denied ever having said it. Omar Rabba. So Rabba says, Hu Elohim. That's an expression of an oath. He, using God's name, he says, and by the name of the Almighty, Omra, he said it, Uksiva Utanina. And there is a posuk that is written, and there's a Tanaic source that says that when you have a positive command that precedes the negative command, there is malchus. Ksiva, the pasuk says, by a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah asay in the realm of people that are ritually impure. They are temeim. Vishalchu min amachaneh, they shall be sent out of the camp. Certain types of tumos are supposed to be sent out of the camp. And the pasuk afterwards, that was Posuk Beis, Posuk Gimel says, Velo yitamu es machanehem, and they shall, by being sent out, not render the rest of the camp impure. Tanina, and it says in the list of Malkos, in the list of those types of Averos that receive lashes, Haba Lamikdash Tomei, someone who enters the Mikdash in a state of Tumah. So what do we see? We have an example of a mitzvah saseh that precedes the mitzvah lo saseh, and then we see when that lo saseh is violated that it results in malkos. Elo my taima kohodabe. Then the question is, why on the top line of this Gemara did he back out by suggesting that he never said it? The answer to that is mishum dekashio le oines. Because the case of oines, the case of rape, as is presented in the Torah, presented a problem. The example of oines is a lo saseh shekidmo aseh. There is a positive command that precedes the negative command. And we know that in the case of oines, there's no malkos. So that caused Rabbi Yochanan to be a little bit fearful of sticking to his original principle. Once again, the case of oines presented a challenge to the principle, and hence, when he was confronted, did you say your principle? So he backed off and said, no, I didn't say that. We have a little note here that you can see with the singular star. It says on our note, Yesh Lahir, we want to point out the Likra Seif HaOmud, that when we get to the bottom part of this Omud of Gemara, Rovo Masbir Loma Oines Eino Kusha Al HaKlal Shel Rabbi Yochanan. We will find an explanation why Oines is not a challenge to the Klal of Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, the original Klal, the original principle of Rabbi Yochanan will stand that Aloisa Se Shekidmoy Ase is subject to Malkos. Once we mentioned the case of Oines, so it's worth pointing out that the Torah in Sefer Dvorim, Perek Chof Beis, Posuk Chof Tes, says, V'nosanu ish ha-shechit b'mol avi anaro chamishim kosef, that in the case of a rape, so the specifically a case of a naro basula, he pays money to the father, Veloi tiye liisha, and unto him she shall be as a wife. That's a positive command that the ma'anes, the one who committed this offense, he has to take her as a wife. Tachas asher ino lo yuchal shalcho kol yomov, and that's the negative command. He cannot send her away all his days. And let us say this, that the fellow does send her away, does divorce her after taking her. Let us say he divorces her. So we know that in the case of Onus, there's no Malkos. So even though it was set up as a Loisa Seshikid Moaseh, which according to the original principle of Rabbi Yochanan should result in Malkos, this case doesn't result in Malkos. And that's what gave Rabbi Yochanan, let us say, cold feet. And resulting in his desire to back out of the principle. However, as we said earlier, Rava toward the end of the Amud will demonstrate why onus is really not a reason to back out of the principle. As we proceed in the Gemara, we notice we have a brackets here, and it's a rather long brackets. You can see by the length indicator, you'll notice a vertical dashed dotted line. All of the lines that are of the Gemara that are opposite this particular dashed dotted vertical line are, as you can see, are included in the brackets. These brackets, however, are not the standard form of brackets, which indicate try to upon initial reading skip the section that's included. Rather, and if this is explained by our note that you can see that's accompanied by the double asterisk, the note says Tam hasograim heim einom l'shem dilug. These brackets do not indicate the need for skipping. Ela l'tachem, rather they demark hadiyun, the discussion saviv ha'inyan shel haptur malkus ba'oines. This section describes the exemption of lashings in the case of oines, where one violates what the Torah says, do not divorce her, and he does divorce her. As we said, he nevertheless does not get malkas for that, for the violation of that particular lav. even though it is preceded by the aseh of loy unto him, lo lamed vav, unto him, she shall be a tielisha, she shall be as a wife. There is an interesting phenomenon, though, with regard to these brackets. If you do skip them for a moment, the Gemara, you'll see a question that would follow suit immediately and say, this question after the brackets is a question on the entire principle of Rabbi Yochanan. And you can see the question immediately. Omar Leh at the third wide line under the third wide line of the Gemara. You see there, Omar Leh Rav Papa La Rova V'ha Lo Domi Lave L'Lav De Chasima. The Lav of Rabbi Yochanan, namely the Lav Mitzvah Losa Shekidmo Aseh, where we have a positive command that's preceded by a negative command, and according to Rabbi Yochanan's principle, there is no Malkos. There is Malkos, but it doesn't parallel the Lav of Chasima. The Lav of Chasima, we opened up with in our introduction, is the Lav, the prohibition of muzzling an animal up, and that Lav exists in isolation. The muzzling of an animal while it's threshing, the Lav of Lo Yisatzom Shor Bedisho. That's a negative command in isolation. There is no positive command in its proximity. So Rav Papa's question will be, were we not of the understanding that the only time there would be lashes is when you have a lav in isolation? Why is it then that in a lav, shekidmo yaseh, should there, yes, be malchus? That will be dealt with later. Turning back to our Gemara, the Gemara here, as we mentioned, in the bracketed section, we're focusing on the issue of oines. Tisanya. We present a Tanaic source. Tanaic source is focused on oines. It says, oines shigiresh, the case of the raped woman who was married by the offender, and then he divorced her, contrary to the Torah's teaching. Im Yisrael, who, if he's a non-kohen, a Yisrael, machsir v'eino loke, he is expected to take her back, and he does not receive lashes. Im kohen, who, if, however, the one that had committed the offense and married her, subsequently divorced her, happened to be a kohen, and it's known that a kohen is not allowed to marry a divorced woman, even if it's a woman that he himself divorced, Loike v'eino machzir, he receives lashes and does not take her back. That's an example where he cannot fulfill the aseh whatsoever. So in his case, in the case of a kohen, it's a simple there's a simple negative command that was violated and he receives lashes. Well, but in the case of the Yisrael, the Gemara goes over the Reisha and says, Im Yisrael hu machzir v'eino loike, amai. We're saying that if he was a Yisrael and he's capable of taking her back, he is expected to take her back, to remarry her, and thereby exempt himself from lashes. But why? According to the principle we had, it's a negative command, namely, lo yuchal shalcha, you have a negative command, Shekidmo aseh, that was preceded by the positive command of loy tielisha veluki, let there be malchus, according to Rabbi Yochanan's original principle that we saw at the bottom of Yudalad Amid Beis in the firebox. Before we proceed in the Gemara, let us take note of the markings that we will be seeing. So on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, the topic heading that we should have read earlier, but we spoke it out anyway. The nosei was Dino Shir Rabbi Yochanan, the rule of Rabbi Yochanan, the loisasa shikim asei loikin olov, that a negative command that's preceded by a positive command, there is malchus for the violation of that particular negative command. We in the Gemara will be encountering a crown form. This is explained under the Mivneh heading. Nisyonos l'taretz u'lahazbir, attempts. We see one over here, and we've also provided a numbering in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice a number 1 in a crown marking, and lower down on the page, a number 2. These are attempts to explain why Oynes, the Oynes Potter, Mi Malkos, why it is exempt from Malkos. Mishum Dehavi Lav Shenitak Lase, because in fact it's a lav that's removed from the lav category and becomes an, because it, there is an asay, there's a positive command to perform. Afal pish he nireis, even though on the surface, when you look at the Torah, it appears kiloi sasa shekimo asay, that it's a negative command that's preceded by the positive command. The lefri Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, chayav malchus, that would have been chayav malchus. So what we're going to see in this Gemara is that the reality is supersedes the appearance. In other words, the mitzvah involving oynes is not what you think it is. In the same perek in Sefer Dvorim, Perchov Beis, when one looks at Pasuk Yud Tes, one notices a similar halacha. However, the topic is different. There, the topic of the Torah is concerns Motzi Shemra. This is a person who married a woman, and upon his initial contact with her after marriage, he finds that she had already had intimacy with another man, and he claims that she had intimacy with another man after they had entered Kiddushin. If it turns out that he is lying, so the Torah says in Pasuk Yud Tes, the Anshu Oisoy Mea Kesef, he has to pay a sum of 100 Kesef. The Nosnu Lavi Hanaro, and he gives it to her father, Ki Hoitzi Shemra Basulis Yisrael, for he cast aspersions on a maiden of Israel. The pasuk, and this is the focus of our attention, is Veloy Tieli Isha, and unto him she shall be as a wife, Lo Yuchal Shalcho Kol Yomov. He is not allowed to send her away, namely, he's not allowed to divorce her all his life. So we have the parsha of Motzi Shemra, also with the mitzvah, the positive mitzvah of he shall marry her, and the negative mitzvah that follows it, he shall not send her away. Omar Ula. Ula is coming to explain, like we mentioned before, that the parsha of Oynes is really a lav shenitak laseh. But as we said, how do you come to that conclusion? When you read the Torah, when you look at Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Tes, it doesn't look like a lav shenitak laseh. So Ula explains, Lo Yomar, and we're going to be using this diamond marking, and we've explained it on the side, that this is Havlotas Lo Yomar, we're going to be emphasizing the expression Lo Yomar, a suggestion that the Torah did not need to say the pasuk of Lo Yitieli Isha in a particular section. We're going to be emphasizing with our markings different phrases or different expressions that repeat themselves. In our marking system, we often attempt to give the feeling of balance or a balance in structure where certain forms of Gemara repeat themselves. So that's what we're going to see as we go on in the Gemara. We have a double underline with dots in it, and this will be emphasizing the expressions as is indicated on the side, either be'oines or be'motzi shemra, the parsha of oines, which is the parsha of that's found in posuk chof tes, or the parsha of motzi shemra, which is found earlier in posuk yud tes. So let us see what Ula's scheme is. He says, Lo Yoimar Lo Tia Leisha Boines, let the Torah have remained silent, not written this positive command of unto him she shall be as a wife in the case of Oines, for Ligmar Mimotzi Shemra, the form that you see around Veligmar is an attempt to keep track of a discussion. We call this a ma'akav. Ma'akav is to keep track. So when you see this trapezoid, the volcano marking with the narrow part on top, that is going to be Veligmar. I mean, it's let us learn from something. Later, you'll see the form flipping over. There, the Gemara will say, Lo Gomar, that you cannot do that, an undoing of this suggestion. So right now, the suggestion is, let the Torah have remained silent in the case of Oynes, from stating, Lo Tia Elisha, Veligmar Mimotzi Sheiron, let me derive it from the Parsha, from the section of the Torah dealing with Motzi Sheira, and let us reason as follows. Uma Motzi Sheira Shelo Osa Maisa, Motzi Sheira, which is a lesser offense, we think, at this point, it's a lesser offense in the sense that he didn't do any action, he didn't do a negative physical action to her, he simply cast aspersions about her virtuousness. And yet, Omar Rachmona Volo Tielisha, even though he didn't do a Maisa, the Torah commands him that she shall be unto him as a wife. Oynes Lo Kol Shekain, the case where he committed an abominable offense, a physical offense, all the more so, that this shall apply of Volo Tielisha. Imeino Inyon Lefonov, if therefore the expression of Lo Tiel Isha that's written in the case of Oynes is really not necessary to have been written in front of it, because that could have been learned from Motzi Shemra, Teneu Inyon Laachrov. So that which appears by Oynes, the expression of Lo Tiel Isha in your mind's eye, view it as if it appears after the violation of Lo Yuchal Shalcha, She'im Giresh, in the event that he does divorce her, Yachsir, because by placing the Lo Tielisha after the expression of Lo Yuchal Shalcha, I've now constructed such a situation that if he divorced her, that's the first thing, the Lo Yuchal Shalcha, well, if he did, then Lo Tielisha, he shall take her back. What have we done by this? We've created a Lav Hanita Klase, and we know that a Lav Hanita Klase, there is no Malkos. And that then would be the explanation which is unique to the case of Oynes, of why this seeming Lav Shekidmo Ase has no Malkos, because in reality it's not a Lav Shekidmo Ase, it's rather a Lav Hanita Klase. The Gemara though asks, Ve'akati, but still Oynes Mimotzi Shemra Lo Gomar. So we have now an undoing of the first suggestion here that says you could not have learned Oynes from Motzi Shemra. Therefore, the expression of Lo Tielisha that you have by Oynes is not an extra expression that's subject to mobility and replacing it from changing its, transposing its position. And why do we say that Oynes could not have been determined from Motzi Shemra? Notice with our markings, you could see how the discussion flips around, because the trapezoid narrow part is now on the bottom, where it says Logomar. Let's read the line again. Ve'akati oynes mimotzi shemra Logomar, de'iko lemifrach, because one could undo this, the previous logic. Ma lemotzi shemra shekein loiku mishale. Motzi shemra has its own stringency in that it doesn't conform to the rest of the penalties of the Torah. Generally speaking, when one is obligated to pay money, there is no malchus. An exception to this is found by Motzi Shemra, where he, in addition to having pay, he is lashed. That husband who cast aspersions on his wife receives malchus, in addition to the need for him to pay 100 pieces of kesef. So that's a form, we'll call it, of severity that we find by Motzi Shemra that we don't find by other offenses. And therefore, I could not possibly derive oynes from Motzi Shemra. So the expression of Lo Tielisha that we found in the case of Oynes is not really extra. Ela, another attempt to show how there is an extra expression of lo tia li'isha in the scheme of things, and that is what we're going to be learning from, to show how the case of ones is really different and doesn't pose a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan's original teaching. Let the Torah have remained silent with regard to this pasuk. In pasuk Yutes, let the Torah not have written lo tia li'isha in the case of motzi shemra, v'ligmar ma'ones, and let us learn motzi shemra from oines. Uma oines she'eno loike u'meshalim. Mind you, oines that doesn't have this severity to it of lashes in addition to payment, and yet Omar Rachmona v'lo tia li'isha, she shall be unto him as a wife, motzi shemra, where we know there's loke umeshalem, there's lashes in addition to having to pay lo kol shekein, certainly this will apply of lo telisha v'loma ne'amar. So why does the Torah anyway state outright lo telisha by motzi shemra? It would seem to be extra. Im eino inyan la motzi shemra, if it's not really necessary by motzi shemra, because we suggested it could be learned from oines, so by virtue of oral law, we will then say, Teneu inyan lones. Let us transpose the lo tia li'isha that's found in the context of motzi shemra and place it in your mind's eye, place it in the parsha of oines. Im eino inyan lefonov. And if I don't need the expression of lo tia li'isha before, to state it before the negative command by oines, because there already is this positive command written in the Torah, lo tia li'isha by oines. So, teneu inyan l'achrav, let's take the lo tia li'isha expression that you found by the motzi shemra and place it after the negative command of lo yuchal shalchol kol yomov in the case of oines. And by doing that, by placing this negative, by placing this positive command of lo tia li'isha after the negative command of lo yuchal shachal in the case of oines, I've converted oines into a case of lav shenitak la'asei. This, however, is rejected. Umotzi shemra me'oines nami lo gomar. Notice once again how the trapezoid has flipped over, undoing that which we just suggested. Motzi shemra cannot be derived from oines. The ikol emifrach, because you can challenge the above logic by saying ma lo oines shekein osa maisa. Oines has a severity to it that you don't find by motzi shemra, in the sense that by oines he did an act, a physical abhorrent act, and therefore the feeling is by he should be punished or fined by having, by being forced to marry that woman. So it has to have been stated, if so, the fact that it was stated by oines would not have led me to know anything about motzi shemra. So that the suggestion above, at stage two of, let me derive motzi shemra from oines, I cannot say that anymore. Ella, we go to we now approach attempt number three to show, we're trying to show how oines, even though in the Torah it looks like a lav shekidmo asei, in reality it's a lav shenitak lasei. Well, how should we do that? Ella lo yoimar lo tia li'isha b'motzi shemra. The Torah didn't have to say she shall be unto him as a wife in the parsha of motzi shemra. Very simply, sharei ishtohi. Here we're not deriving motzi shemra from another mitzvah. We're deriving motzi shemra in and of itself. What's motzi shemra? Motzi shemra is a situation where the fellow who is casting aspersions on her has already married her. So it would seem redundant to say, and he shall marry her. He's already married her. Lama ne'emar, so why do you have the expression of lo tia li'isha by motzi shemra? Im eino inyan la motzi shemra, if it's not really necessary by motzi shemra, teneu inyan la oines. Let us refer it, let us transpose it to the case of oines. Im eino inyan lefonav, and if In the case of onus, you don't need to have the low tiel isha of the motzi shemra placed before the case, before the lav in onus. Teneu in yin la'achrav. Have it placed, stuck onto the parsha after the negative command, thereby making onus into a lav hanitak la'asei. Notice with our markings, we've also attempted by the use of this squiggle underline to emphasize the expression Teneu inyan la'achrov as we've been going along. This, the idea of la'achrov is to make it a lav hanitak la'asei, where the lav is stated, and then following it is the, after the lo sase is stated, following it you have the positive, the asei, afterwards. The Gemara attempts to reject approach number three by saying, V'ema, why not say that if this expression of lo tie elisha by motzi shemra seems to be extraneous, instead of transposing it over to onus, say thusly, v'im eino inyan lefon of the motzi shemra, if it's unnecessary to have it stated before the lo sase in the case of motzi shemra, teneu inyan la'achrov di day the lo loki. Let us simply have it, its position in your mind's eye, transferred to after the negative command in the case of motzi shemra itself. In other words, let us not have any cross mitzvah movement of this pasuk, but rather within the mitzvah motzi shemra itself, have lo tielisha stated after the lav, thereby making motzi shemra into a lav shenitak laseh, and thereby sparing the husband of Malkos. So the Gemara says, in Hachinami, that idea is true. We could, in fact, argue that. V'osi oines v'gomar minei. And we're calling this attempt number four. And then, after suggesting that motzi shemra is a lav shenitak laseh, let us then derive oines, which is our topic, from the case of motzi shemra, which we just now suggested should be exempt from Malkos. And onus thereby would also be exempt from Malkos. So to this the Gemara challenges, B'mai gomar minei, how am I supposed to learn onus from motzi shemra? Iba kal v'chomer, iba ma motzinu, either, if you're going to suggest either a kal v'chomer form of logic, or a ma motzinu, a simple comparison type of reasoning, nevertheless, ikol the mifrach, there's still, we would not be able to learn oines from motzi shemra. Ma la motzi shemra shekein lo osa maisa. I couldn't derive the exemption of Malkos for oines from motzi shemra. Motzi shemra, I would argue, is exempt from Malkos because he didn't do an action, as opposed to the case of oines where he did a physical abhorrent action. In the case of motzi shemra, it was a matter of simple speech. In the case of oines, there was a physical abhorrent action that he did by raping her. And as a result of that, I cannot be convinced from motzi shemra that in the case of oines, he should be exempt from Malkos. Ela Omar Rava. We're calling Rava approach number two, because up till now, we were dealing with Ula's attempt to establish oines as a lav shenitak laseh. Rava comes in with his approach. He says as follows, Kol Yomov, all of his life, during the lifetime of this ma'anes, of this rapist, be'amoid v'hachzer, he is in a situation where he is expected to take her back. So that whenever he in fact divorces her, he automatically puts himself into a position where he has to fulfill the positive command of taking her back. V'chein ki oso rovin, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, kol yomov bi'amod v'hachzer. He's, during his entire life, he is in a state where he has to take her back. If he divorces that, the victim of his action, he must take her back. And therefore, he is by definition, we categorize him as a lav hanitak laaseh. Let's glance at the Rashi. Elo Omar Rava. More or less across from the Gemara in the Rashi, you see Eloma Rova Hodisanya Vainis Mafsivain Loka, that which we saw above as describing the Yisrael who was Ma'anis, a woman, and we saw the brisa that said Mafsir Veino Loke, he's to take her back and not receive Malkos. Taimo Mishum Da Al Korchoch Lav Shenitach Lasehu, because he is by definition in a categorized as a negative command that's undone by the performance of the Asay, the positive command. The Omar Kro, the Posuk, said in the case of Oines, you find the expression Lo Yuchal Shalcho Kol Yomov. So you see this expression Kol Yomov, Lo Havele Lemichtav Ela Lo Yuchal Shalcho. The pasuk could have simply said that she shall be unto him as a wife, and he is not allowed to send her away. My Kol Yomov. Why does it say all of his life? Hochi Ko Amar. Lo tehe b'shiluchel kol yomov elo yachzir. And what the Torah is trying to convey is that in the event that he does send her away, she should not be in the state of being sent away, but rather he is to take her back. The al korchoch, and therefore we're forced to say amod v'achzer komar, get up and take her back. V'ochi komar, and thusly we are to understand the Torah. V'lo tia li'isha im sholcha, that she shall be unto him as a wife if he sent her away. Shiloyu shiluchel chol yomov, that his sending away, that his sending her away shall not be of a permanent nature. Hare, we see from this, ho'aseh achar ha'avoras halav, that the aseh, the chance to fulfill the positive command in this case is in fact after he violated the negative command. In order for this assay to pertain, he would have first had to violate the negative command. And that we saw as we saw that as the definition of a lav shenita klase in the Rashi that we saw at the bottom of Daf Yud Dalid Omid Beis. If we glance at that Rashi, second line from the bottom, Vashmir Rabbi Yochanan, Hani Mili, Baseh Habo Achar Alav, Shein Ato Yochol Lekaima, where you can't fulfill the Asay Aloli Achar Averas Alav. So Rashi here has explained, using the same terminology as the Rashi did before at the bottom of Yudal Mabez, this principle, converting, making the Parsha of Oines, in fact, a lav shenitak lase, where the chance to fulfill the assay is only after he divorced her, where he violated the lav, and that's learned by the extra words of kol yomov. Turning back to the Gemara, the third wide line, Omar le Rav Papa l'Rava, Rava who successfully explained the case of Ones as being a lav shenita klase, thereby preserving Rabbi Yochanan's original teaching that a lav shekidmo ase is guilty of Malkos, and you don't have to worry about Ones as a challenge to that. Rav Papa asks Rava, v'holo domi lave l'lav dechasima, but the case of lav shekidmo ase, which Rabbi Yochanan wants to give Malkos for, is not similar to the classic case of Malkos that's found in the Parsha of Lo Yisachsom Shor B'disho. That's a case of a lav, the prohibition of muzzling up an animal while it's threshing, is a lav that exists in isolation. So one would have thought that only that kind of lav gets Malkos, but if you if you add an assay to the proximity of the lav, there should not be Malkos. Amarle, so Rava responds to Rav Papa and says, Mishum de kosav be'rachmona asay yisera migro gora, because the Torah writes an extra asay, in this case, before the lav, that should make it more lenient, it makes it less offensive, and thereby exempt him from Malkos. So Rav Papa retorts, "Ihachi, if that's your reasoning, in other words, extra assays or added assays are not reason for lightening things up, then lav shenita glaseinani. Then when you have the lav that's followed by an assay, similarly, lemo say what you just said to me. Mishum de kosav be rachmono assay yesero migor gora. Because of the extra assay, there should be is that reason for creating leniency? And yet we do say that. We say that when there is a lav followed by an assay, the fact that there's an assay and this extra mitzvah, so to speak, extra posuk, the assay posuk, that in fact does create leniency. Omar le, so Rava answers, when you have an assay that follows the lav, that hahu lintuki lav hu da'asa. Rashi explains, as we explained before, that is an assay that you cannot fulfill before the violation of the lav. In other words, its existence is such only if the lav is violated. And the Torah thereby is saying that, well, since you violated the lav, the Torah gives the opportunity of exemption by going ahead and fulfilling the assay. However, that construction or that idea is not the case where you have a lav shekidmo assay. There, there was no need to violate the lav in order to come to fulfill the assay. The assay could have been fulfilled initially without violating the lav. In such a case, where one does go ahead and violates the lav, he deserves malchus. As the Gemara goes on, there's an allusion made to a sugya a complete sugya that appears later in the Gemara. So this happens often in learning the Shas, where extraneous or other sugyas are related to, referred to, but you don't see them in their entirety. You only see an allusion to that which appears elsewhere in its entirety. So, in order to gain the appreciation of this particular allusion, one will find Rashi to be very helpful. We're going to see two expressions. One is bitlo velo bitlo, and the other one is kaimo velo kaimo. These are two references to the parsha, two deos, machlokis we'll see between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, with reference to the idea of lav shenita klasei. If you have a negative command and it's followed by a positive command, we tell you that lav shenita klasei is exempt from malchus. The question that is dealt with in their machlokas is, how long does this exemption exist? Is it a permanent exemption by virtue of the fact that the Torah simply printed or wrote a positive command after the assay? That is grounds for an exemption, or not necessarily that way? Let's read on in the Gemara a little bit, and then go through the Rashi, and let us accept the Rashi as to serve as an introduction to the big sugya of bitlo velo bitlo, kimo velo kimo, that will be seen later in the Gemara. So as we go on, ha nicha leman de'omar bitlo velo bitlo, that which Rava said above, that ones shigiresh is exempt from malchus, because it's a lav shenit nitak lasei, because kol yomov be'amod v'hachzer. So this idea, kol yomov, all of his life, he is in a state whereby he can fulfill the asei, and that's what exempts him from malchus. Ha nicha l'man de'amar bitlo v'lo bitlo. That works out according to the dea, which happens to be Rabbi Yochanan, that says that kol zman, as long as a person has not voided the possibility of fulfilling the assay,
the lav is not complete. He hasn't really violated the lav. The lav, the negative command, is considered violated only when he eradicates the possibility of fulfilling the asay. So as long as he has not eradicated the possibility of violating the asay, of fulfilling the asay, so according to this school of thought, the lav itself hasn't really been violated yet. And that would explain why there's an exemption from Malkos. So, therefore, we can understand that Kol Yomov, as long as he is alive, he is in a state whereby he can take her back. And that explains why there's no Malkos, because the lav hasn't been violated yet. Elo, leman domar kaimo velo kaimo, but according to the school of thought that says, when you have a lav shenita klase, we give you a little time until you get to court, until the case comes to court, till they get to Beis Din, to fulfill the asay. But let us say the case comes to court, and they tell him that you have to fulfill the asay, and he doesn't do it. At that point, the lav is completed, and at that point, he is now chayev in malchus. So, according to that, my ikol amemar. How can you describe him as kol yomov, all of his life he is in a state of amod v'hachzer? That's not true. It's only until he comes to court is he in a position where he can fulfill the asay. But once he comes to court and he doesn't fulfill it, that's the end of the lav. The lav has been completed and he should be chayev in malkos right then and there. We can see all of this in the Rashi on the fourth line under the Gemara. Honi cha lemande toni bitlo velo bitlo, elo lemande toni kemo velo kemo, mai iko lemeimar. Ha di amris kol yomov bi'amol v'hachzer koi. But that which Rava said, that all of his life, the life of the rapist, he is in a state of expectation of fulfilling the asay. So asiso, by that we have made him into a lav shenitat l'asay. And we've extended the chance for him to makayim, to fulfill the asay, all of his life. That which the Brises taught, let him take her back and exempt himself from lashing. That's forever, as long as he's alive. So as long as he can say, I am taking her back. So Bezdin, the court, that will not lash him. Honi chol lemande toni lekamon belav hanita klase. This works out well according to the opinion that says in the context of lav hanita klase, bitel esuase chayav al halav. If he eradicates the possibility of fulfilling the asay, he thereby becomes guilty of the lav, of the negative violation. Loi bitel esuase potter. What Rashi, by the way, is doing is showing that the expression in the Gemara of bitel, lo bitel, is an abbreviated expression. The full expression is as he just presented. Bitel means that he's mevatel, the possibility of mekayim b'yasei, so he's chayev on the lav. If he was not mevatel, the possibility, so he's poter. Sha'alav talui b'bitel asei. The violation of the negative command is dependent on the eradication of the positive. V'eino nigmar ad shivatel asei b'yadayim bitel oylam. Shelo yuchal iskayim oid. The lav is not said to have been violated until he eradicates completely the positive command is eradication in an active form. Then ika lemeimar. So according to this approach, we can say kol yomav yesh lo takona bechazora, that as long as he's alive, he can take her back. She'ein mevatilos aselim kein madira shelo tehena mimenu. the eradication of the aseh would only be if he makes a vow that she shall not benefit from him. Neder shein lo aforik lekamon, a type of vow, as will be featured in the Gemara later on, a type of vow that has no undoing. Only then would he be in a position where he can't take her back. But according to the other approach that says, you are instructed to fulfill the aseh, and only if you positively fulfill the aseh will you be exempt. But if you decide not to fulfill the aseh, then chayav. Tikuno shel lavu. According to this approach, the aseh is a reparation of the negative command. The ein halav tolui bebitul aseh. The lav is not dependent. The fulfillment or the violation of the negative command is not dependent on the eradication of the positive. Shemishal shovar, immediately when he violated the lav, halav nigmar, he completed the lav. Now, in our case, as soon as he divorced her, that's it. He's violated the lav. Avlo aseh nitan la'akor ha'malkos. The fact that there is an aseh in the proximity, in other words, there's an aseh that follows the lav, he has a one-time chance to undo the lashings, the almost inevitable lashings, u'shev le'Beis Din, and that is when he comes to Beis Din. Oh, yikayim aseh v'poter, he's given this chance to fulfill the aseh and thereby exempt himself from the malkos. Oh, you loket. If he doesn't fulfill it, he gets lashed. He gets lashed for what? For the lav that was already completed. So according to this approach, leko lemeima kol yomov ba'omu v'achzir koi kidako amris, that all of his life he is in a state where he can fulfill the lav, as you said. Shimlo yachzir miyad shevu beizin. If he doesn't take her back immediately when he is brought to court, yokuhu, he gets lashed immediately. You can't say that according to this approach, the word kaimo means, well, fulfill it afterwards, whenever you want to. In Cain, because if that's how you're going to interpret the expression of yikayim, then lo kiyem hechidami. How are you going to explain the expression of did not fulfill? If you're going to explain according to this mandomar that yikayim means he can do it whenever, so then he always could say ani mekayim, so there would be never a situation of lo kimo. Therefore, we know according to this approach, the expression of kimo, lo kimo means, kimo means mekayim immediately upon being brought to base, and if not, so then lo kimo, then he's not fulfilling it, and he deserves the lashes. The question, once again, where we're holding right now in the Gemara is, Rava's expression does not conform to this approach of lav shenitak laseh, namely the approach of kaimo velo kaimo. The Gemara at the top of Tes Vov Omid Beis says, midi hu taimo elo l'Rabbi Yochanan. Is it not so that our discussion right now is within the shita of Rabbi Yochanan? The whole Gemara that we learned on Tes Vov Omid Aleph, it was in order to was a discussion within the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the one that said shalav shekidmo aseh lokin alav, and then we raised the objection, the seeming objection from the parsha of Oines, and we needed to explain Oines in a way so as not to challenge Rabbi Yochanan's original principle. Therefore, is it not so that our whole discussion is within Rabbi Yochanan? Ha'omar le Rabbi Yochanan letana. Rabbi Yochanan himself instructed the one who stated, who teaches over the Tanaic literature and says, Tani bitlo chayov lo bitlo potter. The Tanaic source that we haven't learned yet, but will be featured shortly in the Gemara, he himself is of the opinion of bitlo velo bitlo. That conforms, that's within Rabbi Yochanan. I, Rava who said that kol yomov ba'amol v'hachzer koi, am explaining Rabbi Yochanan whose approach to lav shenitak laseh is only if you're mevatel the chance of ever being mekayim the aseh, stands. Once again, only if you're mevatla, only if you void the chance. But if you don't void the chance, then all of his life he is in the position where he could be mekayim v'aseh. And as we explained before, the lav hasn't really been violated until that point, and therefore there's no reason for malchus. At this point, the Gemara now gives the background to what we just said, that Rabbi Yochanan addressed a particular Tana. Tana means is one who stated Tanaic literature. And Rabbi Yochanan was alluding to a tikkun, a correction that ought to be made in a particular piece of literature that we will see very shortly. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, that we've essentially already explained, but we can use this as a point of review also. Under the nosei heading, we have written, Ha di Amrinan, that which we say, Kol loisas sheish bo kum asei potur mimalkos, anytime you see in the Torah a negative command that accompanies it or has following it a positive command, and that is reason for ptur and exemption mimalkos. This idea is shonui b'machlokas Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish, is subject to a discussion or a controversy between Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. The first approach, kaimo v'lo kaimo. The second approach, bitlo v'lo bitlo. Bosis machloikis zu mevusis al machloikis acheris. The basis of this particular controversy is based on another controversy, which will be seen later in the Gemara. I amrinan hasra sofek shma hasra olo. Do we say that a warning given to a potential offender that's based on a sofek, a warning that at the time of the warning is not, it is not conclusive whether it will be violated, does that constitute a sufficient legal warning or not? We will see that a bit later. So as we said a moment before, Rabbi Yochanan accepted as his approach to Lav Shanita Klase the idea of Bitlo Velo Bitlo. And Rabbi Yochanan corrected a Tanaic source by setting things like that. And now the background. Third line from the top. The Tani Tana Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. Someone once stated a Tanaic source in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan as follows. Kol mitzvah losa says sheyesh bo kum asei. Any negative command that appears in the Torah that has following it a positive command, kayem asei sheba poter. If he fulfills the asay, he is thereby exempt from the malchus. Bitel asay shevo chayav. If he voids the possibility of fulfilling the positive command, he becomes guilty of malchus. Omar lei, so Rabbi Yochanan hears this source as it is and asks, "My koamris, what are you saying?" The questions that will follow in the next two lines are based on inferences. What are you saying? Kayem potur. If you read it as you began by saying, if you fulfill it, you thereby exempt yourself, then it would have followed by saying, it should have said then, lo kiyem chayav. That as soon as he decides not to fulfill the positive command, he is thereby guilty of Malchus. And not saying, as it says here, that only if he's mevatel, that means voids the chance of ever being mekayem v'aseh, but rather, once again, if you say kayem poter, it would have followed by saying lo kiyem. In other words, the negation of kiyem is lo kiyem chayov. Likewise, I want to ask, Bitel chayav, if you're going to maintain the seifa as it is, where it said bitel, when only if he voids the possibility of ever being mekayim the asay, then and only then is he chayav malchus, then the ratio, the earlier expression, should have been lo bitel poter, that as long as he doesn't void the possibility of mekayim the asay, he is exempt, even if he hasn't fulfilled it immediately. There's therefore an inconsistency between the Reisha and the Seifa. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, Tani, bitlo, v'lo bitlo, that it would have been better to say, as follows. The Gemara as it is quite abbreviated, but it would have been better to say that as far as the exemption is concerned, lo bitel, as long as he wasn't mevatel, the chance of me mekayim say, he's exempt. And only if bitlo, if he voids the chance of ever being mekayim say, only then does he become chayav. For Reb Shimon ben Lakish Omer, he disagrees with Reb Yochanan's correction, and he says, kaimo velo kaimo. It would have been more accurate to say, thusly, we give him a chance to immediately mekayim the asay. In other words, according to Reish Lakish, we'll preserve the reisha as it is. Kaimo, we give you a chance immediately to fulfill the asay and thereby be exempt. Velo kaimo, but if you don't fulfill it immediately, there will be malkos. What's the underlying basis of this particular machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? The Gemara answers, Bahasras Sofek Komifligi. What is the quality of a hasra, a warning that at the time the warning is issued is based on an unknown? Before going further, we have already said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a lav is not considered violated, even though one went through the motions of violating the lav. The lav is not said to be completed until he voids the possibility of ever being mekayim the asay. But kol zman he hasn't been mevatel that possibility, even though he went through the motions of the lav. For example, the case of divorcing the woman, as long as he is alive, he could take her back. When is the actual violation of that lav? Well, it's somewhere down the road. We don't know when. There's a time factor here, meaning the length of time or the gap in time that separates the initial performance of the negative act and the actual completion of that negative command could span a long gap in time. So therefore, at the time that the hasra is issued, we don't know whether he really will have completed the lav, whether he completed the negative command. And it's important to note that a punishment of malchus cannot be given unless a hasra precedes it, a warning precedes it. But this warning, according to Rabbi Yochanan, for example, it's not clear at the time that he divorces her whether he really ever will complete this particular lav by being mevatel the asay. Does that constitute a legitimate warning? Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we have said that if he is mevatel somewhere down the line, the possibility of being mekayim the asay, at that point he will then get malchus. Well, when was the warning for that? Well, way back when he initially divorced her, or when he initially went through the motions of violating the negative precept. Even though at that time, when the warning had to have been issued, it was on grounds of doubt. Nevertheless, according to Rabbi Yochanan, hasra safek constitutes a legitimate hasra, and that's what the Gemara says. Mor sovar hasra safek shmo hasra. This would be Rabbi Yochanan, that a hasra safek, hasra that's based on doubt, as we said, the completion of the lav is really not known at the time the warning is issued, nevertheless constitutes hasra. Umorso of a Reish Lakish, who said that everything is, that the lav is really established immediately upon fulfillment, namely as in the case of the onus, as soon as he divorces her, he has completed the lav, and there simply is a chance to repair matters, to save himself from the malchus if he decides to be mekayim the asay of taking her back. But otherwise, the lav is violated immediately. Reish Lakish takes this approach because he could not accept the Rabbi Yochanan approach, because hasra safek, according to this mar sofer, namely Reish Lakish, loy shmo hasra, would not have constituted an acceptable hasra. Let's glance at the Rashi
on the first line, the first of the wide lines under the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Sofer, Hasra Sofek Shmo Hasra, the Afagav, the whole Loisa Se Shenita Glase, even though every negative command that's followed by a positive command, Lidvorov Hasra Sofek He, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Hasra is based on an issue of doubt, Shere, Kishaover Al Halav, Tzorech Lahasra's bow. As soon as he goes through the motions of the lav, of the negative violation, he needs to receive a warning beforehand. V'hu Omar, and he said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Shigmar halav bebitul aseh toloi, that the completion of the lav, the true violation of the lav, is only upon the voiding of the possibility of fulfilling the aseh. Ukshemasrin bo al tegaresh, and when the warning is issued, don't divorce her. Safeku shemalo yivatul aseh v'hadira bano. It's not clear to us whether he will void the possibility of being mekayim the aseh by vowing not to grant her any benefit. When he does, if he decides to vow not to provide benefits to her or receive benefits from her, ka'omar deloki, Rabbi Yochanan says, well, at that point he will get malchus. When was the warning? Way before. When he gave the warning, did he know that he would come to that? That he would come to be Madir Oisof Mehano? No. Almo Hasra Sofek Shmo Hasra. We see from here that nevertheless, the Hasra that he issued, even though it was issued, that it was shrouded in doubt, the warning nevertheless stands, is effective. The Gemara goes on to say, the Ozdu Latamayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are consistent with what they have said elsewhere. It's interesting in the structure of this Gemara how one topic is linked into the other. In other words, we saw the Machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish with regard to how to phrase the source above Bitlo Velo Bitlo. It ties into the issue of Hasra Sofek. And the issue of Hasra Sofek, as was stated here, is consistent with what they say elsewhere. The Ozu L'tamayu di Itmar. Ozu L'tamayu means they, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, follow their opinions with consistency, as is seen now. The Itmar. Shvua she'ochal kikar ze hayom. A person is standing in front of a loaf of bread and says that he swears that he will eat this loaf today. Ve'ovar hayom v'lo ochla. And the day passed and he did not consume it. Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish dam Reish Avayu ein aloke. Both Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish say that this person is not going to be subject to Malkos. The question is, why is he exempt? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Loke Mishum Dahave Lav She'ein Boi Maise. The reason he's exempt from Malkus is because his violation was through non-action. Namely, he didn't eat the loaf. He swore that he would eat it. He's obligated to keep his word. He violated his word by what? By not eating, by a passive act, by a passive violation. The whole Lav She'ein Boi Maise, the Gemara at the top of Tezayin Amalav says that any negative command that's violated through non-action ain't loikin olav. Reish Lakish amar ain't oloke. Reish Lakish says there's an exemption not because of passivity, but mishum da'ave hasra sofek. When this man vowed, he vowed sometime during the day that today he will eat the loaf. At that time, he may have been warned, you better be careful not to violate your words. Do we know whether he will violate his words or not? Well, at the time of his oath, he has still the rest of the day to fulfill his words. Nevertheless, at the time that he issued the oath, the hasra had to have been given. But since there's this element of doubt that is created by by the issue of time passage. And therefore, at the time of the issuing of the warning, we did not know whether he would come to violate the lav. That's called a hasra safek. The whole hasra safek loy shmo hasra. And any hasra that's given under, let's say, shrouded circumstances, does not constitute a hasra. That's Reish Lakish's approach. And that's what we said above, or prior to this, under Reish Lakish's name, the hasra suffik, lo yishmo hasra. With that, we complete our shiur for today.